Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
What is the Bible? Who wrote the Bible?
The church will continue to be even more irrelevant when it quotes letters from 2,000 years ago.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, is where our trouble began.
This sounds to me like the voice of someone who really has an appalling ignorance of what the Bible says about itself and what Jesus said about it.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Don't make a thing, unless it's a thing. This is Wretched Radio. What things am I thinking about? All kinds of issues these days that are dividing Christ's people. I do not know that the devil has ever been more successful in sowing seeds of discord on issues that maybe are a thing, but maybe they're not a thing. What's my definition of what a thing is versus what a thing is? A thing is an essential orthodox issue. It is a cardinal doctrine of the Christian faith. That's a thing. And those things, when compromised, can cause correct biblical division. Mark those which cause what? Mark those which cause division and avoid them. So divide from the dividers. Mark those who are false teachers. Mark those Christians whose beliefs are aberrant and avoid them. That is a thing based on the essential doctrines of the faith. Now, so that nobody thinks that the secondary or tertiary issues aren't important, they are important, and we tend to deal with that denominationally. We find ourselves in an organizational structure that's more in alignment with how we view secondary and tertiary issues. There's nothing wrong with that. But those issues, and I think I would have to say overall, the conservative community has done a pretty decent job over the last several decades of recognizing what is a secondary issue and still getting along. Best example I can think of would be John MacArthur and Dr. R.C. Sproul. You've got yourself a Believer's Baptist guy and a Paedo Baptist guy. They loved each other. They labored with one another. They didn't write snarky blogs about one another. They showed this issue is not going to cause division because secondary and tertiary issues, while being important, they're not a thing. These days, however, I am observing just my life experience, which is somewhat subjective, what I see happening on TV, what I scour over the internet, is there are a lot of issues that the devil is using that apparently are so gut deep that we go to war with one another over an issue that isn't a cardinal doctrine. Please note, I am not suggesting for a second we get soft on false teaching at all. I am not even hinting that we don't contend earnestly for the faith given once. I'm not wanting to compromise, but I also want to be careful that I'm not making a thing when it's not a thing. Because Jesus wants unity. And I would even go a step further, not a begrudging unity. All right, fine. They think that, but all right, I'll fine. I don't know if I take communion with them, but we might be in heaven together. Okay, well, I get that sometimes. I really do. I don't think that's what Jesus desires for us. He wants love among the brethren. What would be an example of a thing that's not a thing? I actually have in my never-before nicotine-stained fingers 8. Jimmy, keep track of these because I suspect you might be able to think of something I didn't, which, okay, Let's be honest, that's not a challenging chore. But I just wrote these down, and please note, it's not to make a commentary on any of these. We've done that in the past. This is not intended to be, oh, you're trying to sneak in something about masks. No, I'm not. But I will use masks as one of my 8 issues that isn't a thing. It's not a thing. Unless you can find a Bible verse that informs me that if my brother wants to put on a mask and I don't, or vice versa, that we can't be in fellowship with one another and genuinely love one another. What? Are you feeling it? Have you felt this yet? Like, viscerally? Somebody disagrees with you. Let's just stick with mass. We've got seven more to go. Somebody disagrees with you on mass, and it's like, oh, man, what's the matter with that guy? Okay, you disagree. It's not a thing. It's not a thing. It's a thing. I don't know how much higher I can go to keep differentiating my things here. These issues shouldn't cause us to put our dukes up. Can we explain to the person, hey, this is what I think about mass, and this is why. And they can share what they think about mass and why, and we can still get along in genuine Christian love. Why are these issues causing us to really look at each other with a bit of a raised eyebrow? Huh. They think that about mass. Huh. I thought they were sound. I don't they go to the Shepherd's Conference? I thought they had it together. What, they think that about the mask? Issue number two, COVID. COVID is a thing. Is it an essential doctrine? It isn't even in the ballpark. I know the implications, and we got to figure out Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2 and Titus 3. I get that. But COVID, my understanding of it, how I view the issue, is not an issue of orthodoxy, and neither is yours, or neither is anybody's. And yet, why is it that we are really kind of taking sides on this, like we aren't brothers and sisters in Christ? Number three, vaccines. This is a subject that is causing so much division, and we seem to be struggling to just get along. Now, I want to stick with just one aspect of vaccines, because I want to make sure that you don't think that what I'm saying about vaccines is an indication of what I'm thinking about vaccines, that I'm not get it, don't get it. What do we think about churches that are mandating it? Okay, I'll tell you, I think that's very bad. But the point is, there are some people who think vaccines, they're good. I know some people like that. They think that it's good. I know some people who think that it's terrible. I know both of them. I'm going to divide with one of them because they don't agree with me on the vaccine. I'm going to divide because their assessment of COVID isn't my assessment of it. You think it's a pandemic. She doesn't. Well, that's the end of our relationship. Huh. How could we possibly get along when we disagree on a thing? It's just a thing. How's about these issues? Election results. There are different evangelicals. They would say that bad boy was stolen. Others are going to go, I'm not so sure. And there might even be a third camp that goes, I don't think anything at all. I think it was a pristinely run election. No harm, no foul. It's all good. Okay. What theology is that? Oh, perhaps if you're a Calvinist, you're going, well, that's the doctrine of election. I don't think that word means what you think it means in this context. This is about what our take is on what happened in polling places. Is that causing division in your home? In your church, in your relationships? I wonder, because I see it. Here's another one, and these are all issues that are very current. Voter integrity. We're taking a look at the 2022 elections. Is my vote actually going to count? Somebody thinks yes, somebody thinks no. Away we go. Over a thing. How's about this one? This is one that isn't political or social. This is a sin issue, but in a sense, it's the application of it in the political realm. Abolitionists versus incrementalists. There are good brothers and sisters who say, heartbeat law, not a chance. Abolish it. Nothing less will do. There are other Christians who would go, look, yeah, well, we agree with that, but we accept incrementalism. Okay, it's a different approach to the issue. I'm supposed to divide from you because you don't see it the way that I do? I think I got it right. I think you've got it wrong. How's about this one? Brace yourself for this. Systemic racism. What is that? Well, it is an understanding, an interpretation of a historical and current events in this country about how people groups treat one another. Anybody got a Bible verse? Okay, I get it. Galatians 3. Yes, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. Yeah, I understand. But this isn't affecting that. It's how I observe and assess my nation. Of course, I think I've got it right. I don't think there's systemic racism. But you do. What Bible verse am I going to bring to go, well, church discipline for you? And even though we don't practice it formally, all too often these days, we practice it practically by just dropping them. I can't work with you in the church. You think this about it, and I think that. Maybe, just maybe, that what we are producing is a lot of glee from the devil, who is using all of these issues to break up something that Jesus wants, unity. Therefore, might I encourage us all as we engage in these conversations to make sure that we don't make a thing, unless it's a thing. This is Wretched Radio.
We have been so busy here at Wretched. How busy? We've been a Jehovah's Witness in the doorbell aisle at Home Depot busy around here. We've moved our warehouse. We've released new resources, Wretched Worldview, and Solving the God Puzzle. And we're getting set to release Season 2 of Road Trip to Truth while also filming Season 3. And we're also filming a new series about biblical counseling called Transformed. But you'll hear no complaints from us. Only gratitude. We are grateful for this opportunity to serve our Lord Jesus Christ and spread his gospel throughout the world. And we know we would not be able to do these things without the support of our gospel partners. If you're already supporting our efforts to reach millions all over the world with the gospel, we humbly thank you. If you're not a gospel partner, would you please prayerfully consider becoming one? Just head over to wretched.org/donate, or you can also text the word wretched to the number 44321. And thank you for your generosity, and thank you for keeping us busy.
Be careful. Be very, very careful, my cold-hearted conservative friend, because this just might melt your heart. If you are a supporter of preborn.org/wretched, providing ultrasounds, ultrasound machines, and sonograms, careful, this might just melt your heart.
That sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to Mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
You're giving love when you support Preborn, because a mommy sees a baby in the womb courtesy of an ultrasound machine and 80% of the time keeps the baby. $28 an ultrasound, or perhaps you might be of the means to provide an actual ultrasound machine if you can. Oh, they need them, and they'll put them to work, and it'll show some love. Preborn.org/wretched.
Do you want to hear a staggering statistic? As recent as this year, only 6% of Americans have a biblical worldview. That number should not only astound you, it should cause you to examine your own personal worldview. Do you see the world and the issues of the world through the lens of Scripture, or are your beliefs built on man-made philosophies? Most Christians have a dualistic worldview, meaning they separate spiritual things from, quote, real world things, without understanding that everything for the Christian should be filtered through Scripture. In our resource, Wretched Worldview, with Dr. Owen Strand and Todd Frill, seeks to help, not by telling you what to think, but by teaching you how to formulate a distinctly Christian worldview on 22 contemporary issues. Get all of the details and order your copy of Wretched Worldview, which comes with its very own handy study guide, now at the Wretched store by visiting wretched.org/worldview. That's wretched.org/worldview.
Know your church fathers. Hippolytus was perhaps the most important theologian of the 3rd century. He wrote a 10-volume book called Refutation of All Heresies, which catalogued and criticised hundreds of pagan philosophies, Gnostic teachings, and Christian heresies. Hippolytus was exiled and died a martyr under the Roman Empire. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, what do you know? Somebody was keeping track. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, you did your math. I had a list of eight things that aren't things. Eight current issues that are causing us to not genuinely, thoroughly, deeply love one another in Christian unity, that are issues that are blocking us from that or diminishing that. I had seven, or I had eight, but you only counted
seven. You only decided to share seven.
Seven of them. You are correct, sir. Before I get to my last one, do you think that I missed anything? I had COVID, masks, vaccines, abolitionists versus incrementalists, election results, voter integrity, systematic racism. That's what I came up. Any other big ones that I missed?
Yeah, I would say personally from my standpoint, education tends to divide.
Oh, good one.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. We're all passionate about that, aren't we? Well, because I know what's best for my kids. And therefore, I assume I know what's best for your kids. But the reality is I don't, because I don't live in your house and you don't live in mine. So we did it one way, the right way, of course. But I can't shellack you or yell at you for doing it differently. I don't know stuff. I would say this. It is increasingly difficult for a Christian to send their child to public school. I do not believe that our kids are supposed to be missionaries to straighten out the mess that is public education or to correct the sinful behavior that they observe in other students. I don't think that's their job at that age. So I don't use that as an excuse to say, sure, it's a bit of a lion's den. It's the devil's lair, but I'm going to send them in as Christian missionaries. I don't think that that's not what I would do with my kid. Maybe you disagree. And what Bible verse are we violating that would cause us to not be in unity? I got to ask, where is it? Where is it? I love homeschooling. There, I said it. You like private school. You know what I say to that? Good on you. You say, no, we send our kids to public school. I say, you must have good reasons for doing that. Brother, you're right, Jimmy. Education increasingly, though, is getting tense because the CRT is in the schools, the sex ed is in the schools. Oh, hold on a second. I got one for you. California Department of Education is being sued because the curriculum was having the students pray to the Aztec gods of human sacrifice. Here's what it says. The lawsuit details the State Board of Education approved ethnic studies model curriculum, which includes a section of affirmation, chants, and energizers. Good thing they didn't say prayers. Although labeled as an affirmation, it addresses the deities both by name and their traditional titles, recognizes them as sources of power and knowledge, invokes their assistance, and gives thanks to them. Here's what it says. Students first clap and chant to the god Tezcatlipoca. Tezcatlipoca.
That sounds right.
Tezcatlipoca. this is what a news guy has to do before reading the story.
That's exactly.
And especially these days in tennis. Man, the Eastern Europeans are just dominating the sport. And sometimes you got to practice them. I guess I should have. Students first clap and chant to the god Tezcatlipoca, whom the Aztecs traditionally worshipped with human sacrifice and cannibalism, asking him for the power to be warriors for social justice. Next, the students chant to the gods Quetzalcoatl, Huitzilopochtli, and Xipe-Totec, X-I-P-E, Xipe? Xipe? Totec, seeking healing epistemologies and a revolutionary spirit. Huitzilopochtli, in particular, is the Aztec deity of war and inspired hundreds of thousands of human sacrifices during Aztec rule. Nice. I'm so glad that we're awakening the kids to do their little affirmation chants in the public schools. Finally, the chant comes to a climax with a request for liberation, transformation, and decolonization, after which students shout, "Punke be, punke be," in pursuit of ultimate critical consciousness. All right. Wouldn't that be enough to say a parent shouldn't send their kid to school? And I think the answer is maybe, maybe not. It's going to depend on the kid. And it's going to depend on the school, because not all the schools are doing this. This is California. And every school can be assessed differently. We did that for a number of years. We'd interview the teacher before the year began. And this is before we ended up homeschooling, because, well, when we moved to Georgia, well, let's just say private education is a lot more expensive than it was in Minnesota.
Tell me about it.
It is wowza. I'm sure it's about $15,000 a year if you want your kid to go to a private school. There may be some that are less. We